Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
It's Zenyatta Baby Day, and I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 9th, 2012, episode 355, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Is kicked into gear, and here she comes, right on by! Zenyatta suddenly two in front. Here's the real Zen Master, and she's 1-11!
Continues to come at them stride for stride. Lethal Heat holding on to it, though. Lethal Heat, another creation, Zenyatta! So close, I think Zenyatta got up. And now going to come to the outside, and Mike Smith takes dead aim on the leaders and asks Zenyatta to go, and just look at her go. Zenyatta strikes the front, just playing with him here. He is going back and forth, and it's Zenyatta, Lethal Heat running on at the rail, but Zenyatta with condescendingly. Summer Bird in the red cap cross as Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Conti on the inside. Summer Bird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Back to my tune. Zenyatta now just looking at her though. Zenyatta is playing with them. Yet another.
They're running third. They're going home under a hand ride. It is Mike Smith and Zenyatta in a triumphant return to Oakland. She wins the Apple Blossom Invitational by 3.5. Cam Kim second. Be fair third.
Coming to the 16th pole, St. Trinian all out. Zenyatta trying to run it down on the money. St. Trinian still a neck in front. Zenyatta, yes!
It's a boy. Oh my God, could you be any more excited, Glenn? I haven't been this excited about somebody's birth since probably I was born.
And you were right, it was a boy. I was saying girl, you were saying boy.
Oh my gosh, I just knew it. I just knew it was going to be a colt. I just knew it. No, and it's just stinking cute. So I posted, I was reading the Blood Horse this morning. Why I need to read 27 articles about the birth of a horse, I don't know. But on the bloodhorse.com's article, they said that there was a video posted on YouTube of Zenyatta licking the colt. And I had to actually search for it. I had to find Zenyatta, upload it today, and I finally found it. I don't know who this crazy person is that posted it, but somebody sent it to them, and then they got sent somewhere else, and I don't know. Apparently, there was a lot of people standing there when the baby was born, so I guess every one of Zenyatta's connections was there, and they had the baby, and the picture or the video is on our Facebook page, and it is, oh my God, stinking cute. It is Zenyatta laying there, licking her little colt in the ears and on the back and in the withers, and it is just absolutely wonderful. I ovulated watching it, and I don't even like breathing, but it's Zenyatta.
Hey, Glenn, this baby looks so much like your mama, too, doesn't he?
He really does. I mean, just you know, the same dark color, and then this got a really bright white star. Doesn't have the whole stripe kind of that Zenyatta does, but, you know, it's just going to be a little mini-me, I think. And so congratulations to Zenyatta and Bernardini for having a baby. It's
And then, one thing that impressed me about this baby is, do you see the size of that baby's knees? Holy smokes, I guess I forgot how big knees are on babies.
Well, and Zenyatta's like 17 hands, so Bernardini's no small pony either, so this is going to be a big boy. It's going to be a big boy. And you know what? Congratulations to the Lane's End crew. They have really been incredibly professional about this whole thing, and I guess I read somewhere that 6 to 8 babies were born last night at Lane's End, just last night, and I guess it was a full moon that kind of contributed to the massive amount of babies being born. So, I was wondering, too, actually yesterday, the time that it was born, it was International Women's Day. I mean, how perfect
really?
Is that? Yes. Zenyatta has a baby on International Women's Day. I mean, girl power all the way. All right, you're going to have to stop me because I'm just going to keep going, Glenn.
Well, the poor Lane's End people, I mean, they had all those other babies. You know, this baby was just one of many they had to deal with last night, yet, you know, this one gets all the press, obviously.
Well, duh. I mean, great. You had a foal. Great.
Any
That's
word
awesome.
On how Mama was? Was it an easy birth?
I didn't see that anywhere, but according to Zenyatta on her page, because, you know, she blogs, she was up late last night blogging about midnight, I guess, you know, an hour and a half after the foal was born. She blogged that she had a really easy time with it, and everything went very well, and she's very excited to be a mama.
Oh, there you go. Woohoo!
I'm like delusional about this, aren't I? It's a little crazy. I feel like I had a baby.
You always have been when it comes to Zenyatta.
I wonder if I'm going to be named the godmother.
Well, you have a dog named after her. They should.
You would think. I mean, I do have a dog named Zenyatta. It is kind of a big deal. I'm waiting on the call. Jerry and Ann Moss, I would love to be Zenyatta's baby's godmother. So you can give me a call. Email me at jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And just let me know. I'll be
there.
So
now these guys are really new media savvy. Are they going to be doing a contest for the name, or is there a name picked out, or do we know?
Would that be like to Rachel Alexandra? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Can you do that again? I really think that Jerry and Ann Moss, you know, as much as they are really friendly with her fans, I don't know. I would be like, I don't care what you want to name it. I'm going to name it whatever I want to anyway. You know? But they're already calling it. Everybody's already calling it Zendini, baby. It's like, you know how they do the celebrity names? It's
Zendini. Well, there's actually a Facebook page if you want to follow that one. It's already got, was started just this morning, and it already has 391 likes, called Zenyatta's Prince. If you search for Zenyatta's Prince, there's a page there, and it has a bunch of the pictures, too. It must be somebody that's just pulling everything they can find and posting it up there.
I swear it's not me.
I was going to ask you if it was you.
No. Now, I searched for Zenyatta's Prince, and all I get is some dude. Apparently, there's a lot of girls and guys named Kenyatta Prince.
And Alan just posted on our Facebook page, well, yeah, it's a boy, .. because you know, Jamie, .. guys rule.
You know what? What? I can't say the word, but whose hoo-ha did it come out of? Thank you very much. Hers. So shut it. How dare he even comment on a subject like
that? On that note, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Before we begin World War III on Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday, following that exceptionally energetic evaluation of overnight events in Kentucky, we present another Hoosier Horse Fair preview with Dr. Chris Marks, Doctor of Biology and accomplished endurance rider. She's going to be telling us about the clinics she will be doing at the fair. And after an interminable wait, really bad ads is here. So stay tuned for the freestyle festivities, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily winnie goes out to two people, and they are listeners that I don't know that we've heard from before, and they are newbies also to submitting really bad ads. So I wanted to give them a little shout out. The first one is Dorothy, and she says, hi, Jennifer, Jamie, and Glenn. I listen to your show daily, and I love it. I am a horse Swissperer. That means she's from Switzerland, I think, or somewhere over there. My American husband slash horsebind came up with this name after he was thrown into the horse world after we got married, and that was from Dorothy. Thank you so much for submitting your first really bad ad. And then we had another submitter, too. Hi, Glenn and Jamie. Listen to your show as often as work and child allow. Love you guys and the Horse Radio Network. And then she submitted a couple of ads, and she says, this is my first attempt at this, and it was quite fun. Thank you for a great show and giving me something to look forward to each day, Jen. So thank you to both of them. That's so nice that they sent those in, and they learned how much fun it is to look for these ads, Jamie.
Just don't do what I do, which is usually end up seeing the ads and deciding that I really need to go save that horse. That's not a good idea.
No. Buying the horse then after is never a good idea because it just makes you a collector like Jamie.
Yeah. It's a boy!
Didn't we do that already?
I mean, come on. I'm not going to do my daily Winnie for Zenyatta. It's a boy. That's all I got.
That's it? That's all you have?
That's all I got.
Well, we do have a guest coming up here, and we're probably going to talk about something other than Zenyatta, if I can keep Jamie off of that topic for 5 minutes or so. You found an interesting video this morning that I took the sound off of, and I'd like to play for everybody. Tell us about that. And I never had heard of this group before.
Yeah, I haven't either. And it's just such an interesting story. And if I just can take you back a little bit, when I lived in Kentucky and worked at the Kentucky Horse Park, we had a group of inner city kids that we taught riding lessons to, and we taught them on Mustangs. So it was just kind of a crazy combination. I believe they still do it at the Kentucky Horse Park. Yeah, the Mustang Troop. So actually, I worked with the Mustang Troop, and we actually ended up taking these kids and these Mustangs to President Clinton's second inaugural parade. So when he got reelected, we took these kids to Washington. I mean, they hadn't even been out of, you know, the streets of Lexington, Kentucky at all. So this was a really big, awesome deal. And so just such a cool thing to introduce inner city kids to horses and see how it really shaped them and changed them firsthand. And this story reminded me of that and kind of re-inspired me when I saw this. CNN did the story and HorseNation.com posted it. And it's called Work to Ride, and it's a prevention program for Philadelphia's at-risk youth. And you're never going to believe this. They're teaching them to play polo. It's the Work to Ride men's high school polo team, and they're going to be defending the championship title at the National Interscholastic Polo Championships. The team plays Ivy League teams and beats them. They beat Harvard 20-3 last year. So awesome. Awesome situation for these kids to be, you know what, let's just play the video and let's let them tell the story themselves. So thanks CNN for doing the story. Thanks Horse Nation for posting it. If you want to see it, you can go to horsenation.com and watch along too.
In the heart of Philadelphia's Fairmount Park is an old mounted police stable now used by a group of kids making headlines. The stable is an urban oasis for the tight-knit crew hailing from some of the city's toughest neighborhoods.
This is my second home. I need to be here if I want to be something in life. And this is one of the ways, this is my top way to get me out of Philadelphia, out of with all the other people that's making bad decisions.
Leslie Heiner opened the barn doors in the early 90s.
What we do here at Work to Ride is we primarily run a program for inner city youth at risk, and we use horses as a vehicle for change.
It's not a positive vibe around the Philadelphia neighborhoods. And when you come to the barn or when we travel to go, all that is washed away, and you can just be a kid and just have fun.
Here, the leading sport isn't basketball or football. It's polo, and they're crushing their Ivy League opponents.
We really want it. Every time we step on the field, we know our goal is to win.
Polo remains one of the most exclusive sports, reserved for royalty and the super rich. Yet last March, this was the first all-black team to win the National Interscholastic Polo Championship. They defend their title later this month in Charlottesville, Virginia.
It's pretty awesome, and I think there's a lot of talent that we have here, and I think we have a real good shot at doing it again.
The program includes roughly 30 horses and 20 kids riding for their lives.
Even, I don't care if I'm not rich. I don't care if my mother's single. I don't care what I don't have. I'm willing to do anything in life to make it to the pros and polo.
Skill, hope, and dreams, all riding on this sport. Sarah Hoy, CNN, Philadelphia.
Oh, my gosh. What a cool story. I mean, the videos go around to show them, you know, these kids out playing polo, riding bareback, galloping around, leading horses, cleaning tack. It's just, it's a very inspirational story. And I'm kind of shocked that we have to find out a year later that they won. You know, what a cool cool story. I wish I would have known about this last year. But good luck to them, and a good luck to everybody involved. My gosh, it just goes to show you how horses change people's lives. Glenn, go.
I think Glenn is gone.
I'm here.
There
he
is.
Oh. I think I'm back. So the irony is that the polo is such an exclusive sport, and it requires, as she said, it requires a ton of money. You have to, you know, usually you have five horses, and you have to haul them, and you have to do all of that. And here are these kids with probably one horse each, and just kicking butt at this sport I'm just impressed. It's good. It's a good deal.
I want to know who is financially backing this, because like you said, I mean, polo is one of the most exclusive royalty laden sports. And I'm just curious to know who, you know, can we like do donations to this program? Cause it's just great. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some people that want to know. Anyway, just a great story.
Very good. Now, there's another video that's out there right now that's just plain cute. Have you seen the iPad Now for Horses video that's out there?
No.
Oh, it is the cutest thing. And it's very professionally made from this group. And it's all about an iPad that was made for horses. And you see the horse Oof doing all of the things on the iPad. So they talk about all the different things that horses can do on their new horse iPad. And it is cute. It's a very, very cute video. If you haven't seen it before, Jennifer, I put a link to it in the show notes. Maybe you can post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning on Facebook. It is a cute video, and it's worth taking a look at. Somebody put some effort into that. It's neat.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, so I just got a message, Glenn, that we might not sure if it's us or them, but I've got a couple of people that have send me text messages that might not be live. So if you guys, I think some people are listening live, right?
Yes, there were people listening live. So if you're hearing us, let us know on our Facebook page. Let us know that we're still there. I will tell you what we'll do. Why don't I play a song for you, and then I'll go take a look at things and make sure that everything is good. We'll play a song a little early. What do you think?
Oh, no. I think I know what you're going
to
do.
Well, you know, you're so excited, and I don't want to let the excitement wane as we go through the show, because, you know, I know that it's Friday and everybody gets distracted, and, you know, you're probably forgotten already that Zenyatta had a baby. So just to keep you going, here we are.
They say they sold ship number 703. Not too bad looking, little bit furry. She'll do for someone who's not in a hurry. Destiny smiled on that street cry daughter. She grew up and became Zenyatta. Everybody watched when she spread her wings. And now she's the queen of the sport of kings. Zenyatta, right? You feel the crowd swell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, hit everyone say, we love you, Zenyatta, and good luck today. The paddock is crowded, and Zenyatta knows it's all about her, so she wants to
Well, I just checked, and it seems like we are on the air from what I'm hearing. So if Jennifer, if you could post, I'll just let that go into the background because I know you love it. Jennifer, if you could post on Facebook that if people are having trouble with the player, to please refresh your players, and they
hold
should
up.
Be fine.
Let yeah? me, before you do all that, let me
wait
just
a minute,
tell
wait
you.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second, Jamie.
You think you're alive, you can blow you away. Come into the lane, you can look, you will find her. You feel the ground rumble, and then you're behind her.
All right, that was a good part. I didn't want to miss it.
The person who texted me was my brother, because my dad's trying to listen. So it's probably my dad who threw it up. You can turn it up now.
All right.
Never mind, we missed it. Measuring them,
she'll pass half the field in one moving gesture. Smile, switch leads and more down the rail. Vinyata, vinyata, you hear the crowd roar.
They're
dressed and they're shaking like never before. She crosses the wire, she winks at her bank. Pony, pony forward and one toward the stand. Vinyata, vinyata, you are the queen. The greatest racehorse that we've ever seen. Vinyata,
vinyata, vinyata.
All right, I'll turn it off.
That's just awful. I mean, I've got to write a Zenyatta song. I'm sorry if the singer is listening to the show right now. I seriously doubt it. So, hey, you know what?
We won't mention her name because she'll be mad at us now that you've called it awful. I think it's not awful. I think it's just repetitive.
Okay, that's what it is. It's repetitively awful. No, sorry. I shouldn't say that. It's a wonderful song. I just, and she got a record deal off of it, so it doesn't matter what I think, because she wrote that, and of course, Jerry and Ann Moss have a record company, and they give a record deal for that. So right on, sister. Good for you. It's International Woman's Day, man. Let's,
well, you know,
let's
if you're
it.
Sick of that one, I could upload the Pasofino song.
I love that song, too. Wow, I love that one, and I love the one about the barn cat.
That's even better. I haven't played that one in a long time, and you know a lot of our listeners love that, because every time I play it, they chipe in about how much they love the Barn Cat song.
Yeah, because they hate me.
I got to announce one of the winners from the ESMA Awards from yesterday. Now all the winners are done, and I want to remind everybody that Monday morning we will be doing the ESMA wrap-up show. Liam will be joining us on here, and we'll be having a bunch of the winners on over the entire show, sort of like we did last year. It's the ESMA wrap-up show. It's sort of going to be like the Twitter of wrap-up shows. You know, everybody gets like 5 minutes, and then we're on to the next one. So it's going to be boom, 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 Monday morning live here. And I wanted to say, remember we have been having a whole bunch of the nominees from the newbie category in the ESMA Awards. Well, I am happy to announce that Carr Day and Martin was the winner of the newbie category. So they're the ones that took that. And I just got a notice that they wrote me a little note and said that they would love to come on the show on Monday morning. So we'll have to have Jennifer contact them as well. So Carr Day and Martin won that one. And I think we did have them on, right, Jennifer? We had them on.
Yes, they were on before. Yeah, they're great folks.
Yeah, they were fun. I remember them being a fun guest. All right, good. Well, what else do we got, Jamie?
Well, I wanted to kind of ask the audience's opinion about this, because not to just completely continue about horsenation.com, but they do book reviews on this website, and it's only horse books. And I realized that I have a lot in common with the person who wrote the article named Aaron, and that is the fact that Aaron read the book in fifth grade called The Red Pony. And as a horse crazy person, she really thought that the book was going to be about a red pony. And I remember in fifth grade reading The Red Pony and being completely mortified by the book. And I remember, and I commented about this, I remember that my brother, who was in high school, he was older than me, was like, hey, I just read a book in high school called The Red Pony. You'll love it. You should totally read it. As a horse girl, you're going to love this book. It's about a pony. Well, I've still never forgiven him for that, nor have I forgiven the main person, one of the main characters, Billy Buck, for what he did to The Red Pony. And so I was curious, did anybody else read The Red Pony by John Steinbeck and think that it was going to be some happy story about a pony? Jen, did you ever read The Red Pony and think it was going to be a nice pony story?
Well, I remember getting it out of the library as a kid because we were, you know, we were the kids that had 55 library books out all the time. And I got it because it was called The Red Pony. I had no idea who Steinbeck was, and it was in the grown-up section, and I didn't care. It was called The Red Pony. And I think I got about five pages in and went, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It was not a Walter Farley novel. No.
No. No, it is definitely not a Walter Farley novel. And when a book is called The Red Pony, of course, every little girl is going to read it. And I just love her review of it because she's like, I vowed to hate John Steinbeck for the rest of my life.
And I can guarantee you it was the only John Steinbeck book I have ever cracked the cover on.
Really?
First, last, and only. I was ruined after that.
Well, and it seems to me that that's what this person doing the review said as well, but she was then got a literary degree and avoided John Steinbeck all the way through the literary degree until she had to teach high school kids, and she had to teach them The Grapes of Wrath. And then she talks about how she fell in love with The Grapes of Wrath and loved the book and all this, so... She read The Red Pony again and thought maybe, okay, as an older adult, now that I do like some Steinbeck books, maybe I'm going to appreciate The Red Pony. No, she still hates him. She's still traumatized. She still hates him, and I'm the same way. And I said, you have to forgive John Steinbeck because he wrote a book called Travels with Charlie where he travels across the country with his poodle. And it's actually a true story, and he wrote the book as he was traveling, and you realize that he actually does like animals. He doesn't just hate animals. Maybe he just hates red ponies because what he did to the red pony in the book. And if you haven't read it and you don't want to, just, you know, send me my, I mean, the book's been written 100 years. It got strangled. It died. It's like this horrible, tragic death of this red pony, and they cut its windpipe open, and blood squirts everywhere. I mean, it's just god-awful. And I was in fifth grade reading this book. Well, I did find out that I do like John Steinbeck because I like the book Travels with Charlie, but she says that pretty much she doesn't like Steinbeck because he doesn't like horses. So I'm just curious, did anybody else read The Red Pony thinking it was going to be a happy horse story and have be scarred for the rest of their life, apparently?
You pick up the book and you look on the front, The Grapes of Wrath. You don't expect a happy story.
Yes, that's correct.
You pick up The Red Pony, you expect to have something altogether different than what you get.
I know. It's like, it's not fair. The Grapes of Wrath, you're right. Like, as a kid, I would not pick that up and go, I love grapes. Let's read this. No.
Let me just assume something here. I assume we're not going to be reading The Red Pony as your next book we're reading on the air.
I would not do that to our listeners at all. Oh, my gosh. I could read Travels with Charlie.
And Steinbeck books have been around so long, they're probably not copyrighted anymore. We're probably safe to read them.
Yeah, I don't care how safe we are. I can read, let me read one paragraph from it next week, and you'll be like, oh my God, stop, you're going to turn my stomach. Like that would be the perfect How to Gross Glenn Out, is talk about the buzzard sticking its beak in the eyeball of the pony as it's dying. Gross! Oh, it's an awful book. God! You're taking me right back. I'm scared all over again.
All right. And that's the review of The Red Pony. I can't believe we've gone a year and a half on this show and never talked about The Red Pony.
Well, that's because we try to forget it. As horse girls, we're trying to, like, push that back into the recesses of our memory where it's, like, just going to pop out in our 60s where we start hurting people. So anyway, let's get to our commercial before I get to our first guest. And, you know, this is something that's, I don't want to say it's changed my life, but it has changed one of my horses' lives. And Kentucky Performance Products has a product called Nalox Advanced. And I got it in this big 20-pound tub, because they told me that it would help reduce the incidences of colonic irritation and ulcers, gastric ulcers, and it really helps the hind gut in the horse and helps, you know, Jed has had colic, he's had ulcers, he's had all sorts of kind of stressful gastrointestinal problems. And apparently this product was supposed to help with the stress and cell membrane damage, and it helps boost their immune system. You know, I read all that. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try it because he really needs something. This my horse Jet was eating 3, 6, 9, almost 12 quarts of grain a day, about 50, 60 pounds of hay a day. I mean, this horse was eating me out of house and home, and I really feel like, with this product, there had to be something to help him because he wasn't really digesting his food well. He wasn't really helping. Since he has been on Nalox Advanced, and he's been on it for a month now, he is now eating 4 quarts of grain a day, 20 pounds of hay in the morning, and 25 to 30 pounds of hay at night. His food, I have cut back his food at least in half. He now has put on weight. I cannot see his ribs. I haven't even told the people at Kentucky Performance Products this yet because I've been testing this for my horse, just trying to see what was going to happen. Glenn, I can't believe it. His coat looks better. He's still a jerk when you feed him. Like, he still, like, attacks his food. And
that hasn't
crazy.
Changed.
No, his attitude as far as eating, because he was he's a former starvation case, you know, he's not going to be sweet about it, but he eats it. I can feed him this. They're little pellets, and I can feed him in my hand as a treat to make sure, because I want to make sure he gets every little bit of it. So I feed it to him in the hand, and he'll eat it in his grain. He'll eat it straight out of the hand. It's like a treat. They're little pellets, and he gets 4 ounces in the morning and 4 ounces at night. I'm really not kidding. It has changed the way that this horse looks and feels and how much he eats. I've cut his grain back. So much better for him not to eat that much grain all in a couple of feedings, you know. So anyway, it's called Nalox Advance. If you have a horse that's hard to keep weight on, that is kind of a stress case, little bit crazy, which is an ex-race horse, rescue thoroughbred that I have, mine fits the bill, try Nalox Advance. I really think it'll help you because it certainly has changed the way that Jet has acted. So you can find it at KPP USA. Give them a call, and they'll let you know if it's going to work for you. KPPUSA.com.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, our guest today is Dr. Chris Marks. She is going to be a clinician at the Hoosier Horse Fair, which is coming up April 13th through the 15th. And you can find more information about that at thehoosierhorsefair.org. And Dr. Chris Marks has done some amazing things. She's a bit of an endurance rider and a long-distance trail rider, and she goes around the country speaking as a lecturer and a clinician. She advises about selecting, conditioning, and maintaining athletic horses, which you have to know a little bit about when you're doing 100-mile rides in foreign countries. So good morning, Dr. Marks.
Morning.
So do you agree about the red pony?
I read The Red Pony, and yeah, it was kind of a downer, to say the least. I was raised by a professor of literature. My dad was a lit prof, and he convinced me to read Moby Dick by telling me it was a story about whales. And, oh, yeah, right. Okay. And nowadays, when I pick up a book by Stephen King, who's an author I really enjoy, and there's a dog in it, I have to skip to the last chapter and make sure nothing horrible happens to the dog or I won't read it, you know?
Cujo. Don't read Cujo.
Oh, no kidding. No. Or the Tommyknockers. No, no.
My brother also messed with me and told me it was a book about a dog. And I remember reading the first page and I was so scared.
Oh,
I couldn't even go on. It was like, he's snarling under the bed. He's going to kill you. Ah!
Like, horse girls aren't paranoid enough about everything that involves them and their horses.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. That's coming from America's Horse Husband, who understands that immensely.
We're not paranoid.
I resemble that from
you should. Well, Dr. Marks, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you're an endurance rider, huh?
Yeah, I'm semi-retired now because I've been writing novels for the last few years. But I'm a professor of equine science. And among the more interesting things that I've done, I teach at a college called St. Mary of the Woods, which is a really awesome place nestled in Indiana, Catholic college, and just fabulous. And we have an equine
it
studies program
pretty.
There.
It sounds pretty.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a beautiful place. And one of the things I got to do as a perk to being a professor of equine science was travel to Australia five times. And I taught conditioning science and whatnot down at a college in Geelong. And while I was there, one year I was invited to do the Tom Quilty, which is something I've always wanted to do because it just sounds like a mad, mad ride, and it was kind of a mad ride.
Tell us about it. I've never heard of it.
Well, it's kind of their equivalent. And greetings to all the listeners down under who all know what the Tom Quilty is. It's kind of their equivalent of the Tevis Cup here.
Okay.
And it's amazing. The one big difference between the Quilty and the Tevis is that the Quilty starts at midnight.
Oh, really?
Wow. So you've got, 300 uber-fit, snorty horses charging off into the pitch dark on a course they've never seen. And, of course, I'm riding a horse I've known for, like, a week. And there was an Antarctic gale that blew in off the pole that year about, half an hour before the start. So it was about 33 degrees and sleeting, and the wind was blowing about 30 miles an hour. It was kind of neat. The news story about it said, as we watched the riders disappear into the gale, we could not help wondering if we would ever see any of them again. Perhaps that's a bit dramatic, but it was perhaps the worst weather I've ever competed in, other than extreme heat and humidity.
Well, now, you talk about conditioning and maintaining horses, and, of course, endurance horses have to, that's a big challenge for endurance horses. And in conditions like that, and we we've had endurance riders on before that have been in thunderstorms and almost got struck by lightning, and it's just been a whole bunch of things. How do you maintain an endurance horse? How do you keep them? It seems like we can't keep the thoroughbreds that we event sound. How do you keep these horses that go hundreds of miles down?
Well, you guys have different challenges. We really have a lower intensity sport but a longer duration sport. With us, it's the repetitive long-distance nature of the activity that takes its toll. And it's also, of course, the terrain. And, there are environmental conditions. You guys probably wouldn't have an event when it was 30 degrees and hailing on you. I don't know, but there are some. You don't have to ford rivers very often in eventing that I've noticed. And,
no. Just a little
mountain.
No, we have a tough time getting through the water obstacle.
Well, that could be different. At least we get to pick which way we go into the river. You know what I'm saying? but I think that, by and large, there's a lot of challenges involved in keeping a horse sound for 100 miles, and preparation is part of it, and then ride strategy is part of it. I know when I did the Quilty, I didn't know the horse very well, and so what I did is I used my onboard heart rate monitor, which is an extremely valuable tool because it really tells you how hard your horse is working. If you don't know the horse very well in particular, it's indispensable. I once told my Aussie students, I'd rather ride naked than ride without one. And they all went, oh, well, can we make sure you always have one then? yes, absolutely. It's like chaps were not invented for that purpose. So I basically rode to target heart rate all day, and she got through in good shape. And I also used a lot of science and strategy and good old-fashioned American equipment, technology, because at the time a lot of the stuff was pretty new down there, things like Polar Tech and Gore-Tex and the onboard heart monitors were almost unknown in Australia when I did the Quilty in 98. But now, of course, they're in widespread use. So it was
now down there, I can imagine what that 100-mile ride was like. What was different about it than the Tevis? Guys, have you ridden the Tevis?
I have not. I have not. I haven't done any Rocky Mountain altitude rides, largely because I get altitude sick, and it's really hard for me to to cope with it. My horses would be fine, I'm sure. Horses are much better, actually, at going from low altitude to high altitude than the other way around, which is just the opposite of the way it is with humans. And, in fact, what I find interesting is that you can take a mountain-trained horse and bring him down into the flatland, into the humidity, and he suffers big time. They don't do well coming down too far in altitude and up in humidity. So I have not done the Tevis.
I never knew that about the horses. That would have been a good trivia question for me to ask Jamie in one of our trivia.
Oh, it would have. Oh, it would
yeah,
have. Call me
no,
later. I got okay. A million of them.
Oh, good, good. I'll give Jamie the hard ones that way. So now you, when you're preparing for the trails, and I've watched a couple of, as much as you can watch, endurance races, you know, I've watched a couple of them, and it is grueling. You're there in the saddle for, you know, sometimes you're there in the saddle for 12, 14, 16, 17 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do most of the endurance riders do anything except ride? Do they work out? Do they go to the gym? Do they do anything to keep themselves fit except ride?
You know, I can only speak for myself on that. You know, when I'm actually competing, I stay fit just from riding. I mean, because we ride a lot other than outside of competition, but nothing prepares you for the 100, really. Nothing. I don't care if you went to the gym every day. You'd still... there are just challenges there with that sustained, strenuous activity that you really can't prepare for. And what you have to do then is rely on your endurance brain, at least. And don't forget, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not a young rider. And so I just basically have to engage my endurance brain, which says I will hereby ignore all input from my body for the next 14 hours. And, you know, you learn to do that. You just get it done, and you suffer then in, you know, 24 to 48 hours after you stop riding. And people say,
you
wow, you know, how come you do that to yourself? And I say, well, I could say because it feels so good when you stop, but there are other reasons.
And there are a lot of new people now thinking about, I know Jennifer, you know, has always wanted to do endurance on the lower levels.
Mm-hmm.
Is would you recommend it as a sport for people? Obviously, you do it, so you'd recommend it. But when you start first getting into it, what's the best way to start out?
Well, I think, first of all, I have a warning for you, and that is that once you try it, you're going to get hooked. Rarely does it happen that people try it and go, boring, I don't want to do that anymore. Oh, they get swept up and go, wow, when can I do that again? That was awesome, because it is such a wonderful challenge, and you can do it on many levels. And I would suggest that first you attend a ride or two and see how things are done and get some idea of what to do when you get there with your horse. Maybe volunteer to help with the vet check and so on. And then maybe try a competitive trail ride, because competitive trail rides are a little more... relaxed form of long-distance riding. They give you a little more time to ride. Your average speed is probably slower, and there is a lot more judging that goes on. So, and they are shorter distance. I mean, I don't know of any 100-mile one-day CTRs anymore. So you can go in a 15-mile novice ride. Almost any horse in reasonable shape can do 15 miles. Go to a ride where the man job of taking care of the riders, and you'll have a blast. And from there, you know, it's all over but the crying. You're going to be riding. You're going to be coming up behind me on the next 50. Yeah. Out of my way.
Well, that's good. I think, you know, we're moving to Ocala, Florida, and there's a lot of endurance riders now
mm-hmm.
that go down there over
mm-hmm.
the winter, and because there's so many miles and miles and miles of trails. And
mm-hmm.
and I think that was one of the reasons that Jennifer wanted to move down there, so that she could be closer to those trails and maybe start this out. I think we have a challenge for Jennifer here, Dr. Marks, and that's before the end of the year, she has to do at least one of the 15-mile ones.
Excellent idea.
So,
yeah.
Are you there, Jennifer? Are you hearing this, Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm listening. Well, I will say one thing, Jennifer. Watch out for the sand. Watch out for sand. You know,
I could do a 15-miler around the neighborhood.
True.
Yes. Now I can do that too. I live in a state forest.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you could.
The question is, though, Jennifer, can Beaker do a 15-miler?
That's the challenge. If I have the fishing rod, the carrot out in front, you bet.
Exactly.
Now, you in the lower levels, obviously, we see a lot of Arabs in the higher levels of endurance. In the lower levels, do you see all different breeds of horses?
You certainly do. Absolutely. The horse I did the quilty on, by the way, she placed 11th in her weight class, and that's pretty good for a person who was not in any way trying to win. I mean, we were just hoping to get through with a sound horse, and we did. She had no Arabian in her whatsoever. She was half Australian stock horse and half Morgan. The requirements for an endurance horse, of course, Arabians do have a number of advantages just because of their physiology and what they've been selected for, but I've seen all kinds of horses compete and do well, particularly at the lower levels and in competitive trail riding, but even in the 100 miles, we've seen some Mustangs do well. We've even seen some mules do well.
Wow.
And any equine. I mean, if you could train a zebra, I suppose you could ride it. I'm not sure I'd recommend it, but, you know, any equine, a Mongolian wild ass, you know, you'd be the first one ever to compete on that, that's for sure.
All right. Well, Dr. Marks, if you want to hear about more of Dr. Marks, you will find her at the Hoosier Horse Fair. That's April 13th to the 15th. And that is in Indianapolis at the Indiana State Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have all kinds of activities going on that weekend. And Buck is going to be there. Buck Brandeman will be there as well. So if you're anywhere in the area or a neighboring state, check it out. And we appreciate you being on today. It's HoosierHorseFair.org, and we hope everybody stops out and attends your clinic there.
Well, thanks very much. I'd add, too, that if anybody wants to contact me or send an email or a question, they can reach me at cmarks@smwc.edu. That stands for St. Mary of the Woods College. So
terrific.
Send us a message if you have a question.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Marks. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye.
She'd be a fun teacher, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was really, interesting. Very good.
She'd be a fun teacher. Well, now, the problem I've got here, Jamie, is we're waiting for Tammy to call in from the road to the horse and give us her report from there. And it's normally time that we play a song. Well, the only song I have uploaded... Take a guess.
Oh, God. You're going to play it again?
Well, why don't you do the Pocket Stable commercial, and then if you take long enough and stretch it out, maybe Tammy will have called in, and we can avoid the song.
You know, we also do have a different song uploaded. We have a whole
No,
nothing.
I don't have that one uploaded. No.
Yes, you do.
I only have one.
Yes, you do. You're lying to me right now. I know you're lying. Pocket Stable. It's an iPhone app, and it is for every horse owner. You must download it. It is $3.99, and it is an app that will help you keep track of all your shots, your farrier visits, your deworming. All you have to do is plug it into your iPhone, what the day was, like when the vet is standing there floating your horse's teeth. Pull out your phone and put, my horse's teeth are getting floated today, and just put the date with the corresponding horse. You can make a whole page in this app for each one of your horses, and then you just kind of keep track of all the different times that your horse gets visited by the farrier, the vet, gets shots, dewormings, all that, and you keep track of it all right there in your iPhone. Very easy to do. You don't have to scribble marks on different receipts and when you did this and when you did that and try to find it. It's all right there in your phone.
You are stretching this.
iPhone app, it's got this cute horse on the cover, and when you open it up, it pops open, and is she here yet?
No, she's not here yet. So thank you to Pocket Stable. You can see him on, you can be on pocketstable.com. I'm sorry, we just have to play it.
There was no telling what was to be. The city soul ship number 703.
not too bad looking, little bit furry. She'll do for someone who's not in a hurry. Destiny smiled on that street cry daughter. She grew up and became Zenyatta. Everybody watched when she spread her wings. And now she's the queen of the sport of kings. Zenyatta, arise, you feel the crowd swell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd yell. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, hear everyone say, we love you, Zenyatta, and good luck today. The paddock is crowded and Zenyatta knows it's all about her, so she points her toes. She busts out her best moves and she gets down low. Yeah, the big mama knows how to put on the show. Zenyatta, she's gonna be last from the gate. She'll be last at the half, last at the 3/8. She's last at the quarter. Not gonna lose, no, she's checking with Mike about what gear to use. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, the other jocks say, you think you're alive, you'll just blow you away. Come into the lane, you can look, you won't find her. You feel the ground rumble, and then you're behind her. Big mother hen, clocking the speed, measuring them. She'll pass half the field in one moving jest. Smile, switch leads and more down the rail. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you hear the crowd roar. The grandstand is shaking like never before. She crosses the wire, she winks at her face. One ear pointed forward and one toward the stand. Zenyatta, Zenyatta, you are the queen, the greatest racehorse that we've ever seen.
Boy, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna make a T-shirt today that says "It's a boy."
And put his cute little picture on it. Well, while we're waiting for Tammy to get on the line here, I wanted to do a couple housekeeping things, and that is next Friday, a week from today, we will be live. I will be live. You'll be at a horse show with no phone connection, and I will be live at the Kentucky Horse Park. We have John Nicholson, the director of the Kentucky Horse Park, who's always a terrific guest. He's going to co-host the show that day, and we're going to have a bunch of guests from over there at the Kentucky Horse Park. We thought we might as well do this before we moved because it might be our last chance, and John's been itching to co-host the show. He's been really wanting Jamie out of here, and so next Friday was the perfect opportunity to do that, so we'll be coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park next Friday.
I see. I mean, basically, you're just going to replace, I mean, it's not even like, hey, everything's fine. We're just going to, no, it's like, I want to talk to John and I'm going to broadcast live at one of your favorite places on earth when you're not here.
That's right. There you go. You got
Thanks.
It. Well,
Thanks.
He didn't say he wanted to co-host with you. He said he wanted to co-host with me.
I realize that. Thank you very much. You know what? I'm going to find him when I'm at the Kentucky Horse Park for Rolex, baby, because it's coming up. Hey, we have tons of listeners that are coming to Rolex. I'm so excited. I hope to meet everybody and get to see everybody because yesterday we gave away – we didn't give them away, but for the Clarion Hotel, for our listeners, the first 25 that called yesterday, we were going to get a room for $99 a night, and it's usually like $150 a night. So I hope everybody took advantage of that. Did they run out of rooms, Glenn?
I haven't heard anything, so I would assume that you can still call. So I would give them a call if I haven't heard anything. When you give them a call, it's the Clarion Hotel. Just go to our Facebook page and scan down or call 877-451-7623, or we have it posted on our Facebook page as well. And say you're calling about the Rolex experience, and you'll get that $99 a night rate, which is really, really cheap for Rolex time.
Yeah, it's that's just an amazing price.
bring your bathing suits because they got a big pool and they got a bar, and they're going to do bourbon tasting. So we got water, bar, and bourbon. You're in good shape. No problem.
Glenn, please, yeah. please, just getting you next to a pool after you've been drinking bourbon, please make sure you at least wear your bathing suit.
Okay, all right, I promise. Hey, Tammy's here. We got Tammy, host of the Western Radio Show, who is live right now at Road to the Horse in Tennessee. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning. I thought Jamie was going to say wear a life vest or wear floaties or something, but she didn't care about you floating, Glenn. She just doesn't want to see you.
Right.
Can you blame me? Okay.
Good thing it's radio.
That's exactly right. That's why I don't do video. So, Tammy, what's it like there?
I'm so excited. I'm ready just to... Let's just start the competition, Glenn. I mean, everyone's had their rehearsal yesterday, all the flags for all the different countries all around the Coliseum. The parking lot's full, and there's people beating at the door. I was lucky enough to sneak in. So I got to see a lot of the clinicians do a little sneak peek of their performances yesterday. So I have to say, the Australian team is looking pretty hot.
It's not literally.
I'm talking about horsemanship, James.
I was just going to say. Now, it's the Australians against the Canadians against the United States. And so now, let's rate these in different ways. You brought it up. So which one is the hottest? I mean, as far as looking at hot guys.
Oh, I am the wrong person, Glenn. I would have to say, well, I'm Australian, so I don't really find Australians as hot as the Americans do. Because I see them all the time, you know? So, I would have to.
You're not going to say Pat Pirelli, right? I mean, like.
Oh, obviously, no. It's a battle between Australia and Canada, Jamie.
Okay. I'm like, yeah. You're like, oh, the Americans. Well, I don't know. Come on now. Let's get real. I mean, let's be as subjective as possible here. And let's think. Okay. We've got Guy from Australia. And who's the other guy?
Dan James.
Okay. Dan James.
Mm-hmm. And Canadian has Glenn Stewart and Jonathan Field.
I got to look at I didn't have enough time
to
prepare.
No, you do. Go to roadtothehorse.com, and all the profiles are on the front page.
Oh, okay. Got it. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I'll look them all up, and then Tammy, we can decide.
Hey, you know what? I'm going there, too.
You know, we always talk about the important stuff here. Now, this is sold out, right? While she's looking up the pictures of the guys, this is sold out.
It is sold out, Glenn. It is sold out. There's a webcast available. You just have to go to roadtothehorse.com and get the details on there. So,
Tammy, I just went to Road to the Horse, and what logo do I see on the left side of that screen?
Now, that's Australia, Glenn.
No. I see the Western Radio Show on the homepage of Road to the Horse.
That is the Western Radio Show, and reposted a show that Tootie had all about Road to the Horse and how it got started and really kind of what was her drive behind the event. So that's really, you know, if they can click on that, they can listen to the story behind Road to the Horse. So that's really interesting. So,
all right, Jamie, what do
you
think?
Did you get
What's
there?
Your vote?
Oh, my God, Dan James is way hot. Hello.
He'd be on the Australian team.
I'm going to click to learn more.
Dan James do his rehearsal yesterday, Jamie, and he rode, not to give away any secrets, but he rode around bridleless, saddleless, Roman style with two horses galloping around the arena. No pads on their backs, no bridles, no nothing. He was just loping around with two horses at liberty next to each other, Roman riding. That's just way cool. So,
this is just the greatest day ever. This is an awesome day.
You should be down here. You know, the website is, there's clinics tomorrow. The actual colt starting is Saturday and Sunday. But all the clinicians are going to answer a lot of questions today, do a lot of clinics, and then the actual colt starting will be Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, I'm just so excited. There's shopping here. There's horses here. There's a lot of international people here. So, but if
all
you
right,
can't get here, webcast.
Webcast, okay, it's totally, and that's not free, but it's totally worth it, correct?
It is, and that webcast is actually going to stay live after the event, so I think you can go back and watch it up to 7 days after the event, so if you're busy this weekend, you can still purchase it and watch it later. So it is going to be one international showdown of colt starting, that's for sure.
Now, let me go ahead, because I didn't get your answer. Who did you think was the hottest guy in Road to the Horse? I mean, come on, there's no
question.
You know,
being the hottest guy or the hottest team? Team,
I'd
have to say Canada. Because, you know, when you come from Australia, Australia's, you know, I mean, Australia's definitely the cool points, and they're the coolest team. They have the best.
They're good looking. They're good looking.
Entertainment.
But...
they're good looking, but Canada, you know, they're I'd say they're the hottest team. USA's definitely the world's most well-known team. So we've got the well-known team against the coolest team against the good-looking team. That's a different update from Road to the Horse, isn't it?
That's good. I love it.
You should have gotten the job as the marketing person there, Tammy.
I'm not sure I have the right perspective for that, Glenn.
That's fantastic.
Good thing Jamie and I are in charge. We'd have the hottest people with the biggest profile pics and put the other ones down the bottom.
Make a good point. Tammy, why are we not here together? Because it would be fast. That's great.
Well, Tammy, this is terrific. It's roadtothehorse.com. Enjoy yourself there, and what we'll do is we'll check in with you on Monday to see what the results were.
I'll have a winner for you, and they're actually going to display the scores as they go along for the first time on the big screen here, so we'll be able to see how everyone's doing as they go along, Glenn.
All right, sounds good. We'll look forward to hearing about it on Monday. Thanks, Tammy.
I'll send you some pictures, Jamie.
Yeah, you better. And I don't need any pictures of Team America or Canada or just Australia. Thank you.
I'll send you a picture of Guy and Dan.
Oh, my God. They're cute. Woo! All right.
You're missing out, girl.
I'm on my way. Pack your car.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye, Gary. Dude, that guy's really hot. Wow. And the picture of him on the Road to the Horse, when you click on Team Australia and you click to learn more, obviously you've got Guy McLean, who's like way cute. And he's standing on the backs of three horses, one leg on the middle horse, one leg on one other horse. The other one's just standing there, and there's no bridle, no saddle. And what's really amazing is there's a horse that is laying down underneath the three horses that are standing there. This stuff is just ridiculous. And then the other guy, Dan James, is hugging, he's in a tall grassy field hugging his horse that's sitting like a dog. And then there's another one where one horse is jumping over two other ones that are sitting down. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome.
Dan James, you would like him, too. I heard an interview with him. They interviewed him over on the Western Radio Show, and he has that sexy Australian accent that girls like. So he is the complete package, Jamie. You would approve.
Hold up. Now, does that mean that I'm going to have to listen to the Western Radio Show for the first time ever? Because you know I love Tammy.
That's right. You're going to have to listen to the Western Radio Show for the first time ever and put up with Alan just to hear Dan James.
Dang it! All right, fine. I'll give listen.
And it's 10 o'clock on a Friday, and it's Freestyle Friday, and that also means...
pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It's time for Really Bad Ads, and this week we are giving away a terrific prize, which caused a lot of people to send in ads, I think, for the first time. And that is a two-pack of the Illuminated Hoof Picks from MJ Equine. Hoof Picks.
Wow, well done. That's much better. The awesome thing. I think Jennifer was the one who said that when you're in the barn, it's not like it's super well lit all the time, and you got an illuminated hoof pick, and she found a rock. Just popped it right out of there. So that's actually a really great idea. And they're not cheap. I mean, they're expensive. It was like $25 for one of them. So you're going to get
it. Forever. They'll last you 10 times longer than the cheap ones, because the little metal thing that you pick your horse out, the horses feed at with is tough, tough, tough. And then the one cool thing that I've never seen on one of these before is that the little brush part is replaceable. So when it wears out, you just slide a new one in. How cool is that?
Well, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. Well, speaking of brush, our first really bad ad today is titled Brush Eating Machine, $75. Now, Dorothy and Brian Begley sent this one in, so we do appreciate that. Brush Eating Machine, weathered male brush goat, 2 years old, playful, have horns, likes to eat. $75 or $125 with his hat, with his house, goats must have shelter. I'm going to go ahead and let you know that every animal needs shelter. At some point, all of them need shelter. So I'm glad that you're discounted the doghouse $50 for letting him go with that. So, again, brush eating machine, you can have a goat that likes to eat for $75.
And what goat doesn't like to eat? Let's be honest. And then the other thing is weathered male brush goat. I'm not even sure what that is. Does that mean he's old? He says he's only 2 years old, yet you think a weathered male would be more like me, you know, old.
Maybe that's why he needs the doghouse or the goat house.
Well, the next one was sent in by Dorothy and Brian as well. We appreciate them submitting. I think they're first-time submitters. So it says horse haul trailer. This is our trailer pick of the week. Jennifer is going to post it on our Facebook page. And there were lots of trailer ads this week. We're going to save some of them for the coming week. So if yours doesn't go up this week, listen for it again next week. But this is a classic. This is just a classic. Listen to this ad, Jamie. And then, you know, how much would you pay for a trailer like this? This is a King horse trailer. We have taken it apart to fix it up, but the job is too much for us rookies. I have all the parts, and the area that look rusted is just surface as we have been in the process of stripping it down. A friend of ours was going to sandblast it so we could get it painted, but it fell through, and I have no clue how to do it. The title is clear, and it will need new wood floor that will cost $60 to $90, and the Home Depot will cut the wood for you. This would make a good hauler, as well as the back is completely enclosed. Please, this is a fixer upper. There is a dent in the top. Otherwise, it is very sound. One tire is flat, but we can pump it up. Please call if you have any questions.
You asking me how much I would pay for that?
When you see the picture, you see the picture, Jamie. They took the thing apart. It's in pieces. And they want you to put the pieces back together. It needs a new floor. By the way, $60 to $90 is a crock. It's going to cost you a lot more than that for the new floor by the time you're done. It's going to need new wiring because it probably doesn't have any lights. And the little, I love the part where they say, oh, look, it's just rusted because we have been stripping it down. It's completely, entirely rusted from start to finish. Just saying.
You would have to pay me. And by the way, thanks everybody for telling us that weathered goat is castrated.
oh, really? Is that what that means?
That's what that means. So why didn't they just say it was a castrated goat? I don't know. Whatever. So yes, I would not. You could not pay me to take this horse trailer. So it's like Sanford and Son.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
On
a
farm. Second.
You mean I just compared myself to a castrated goat?
If the shoe fits, Glenn, I'm going to say that again this week.
Can I take it back?
That's just a great, like, insult or whatever. If the shoe fits, I love that. I'm going to use that all the time now. You just wait. Next one. Let's see. The next one is from Kate Henderson, and it's Azteca Horse. And I did know what an Azteca horse was, but I don't think they did. and of course, thank you for giving me this one, Glenn, when you parceled them out, because there's no punctuation, not a period in the entire thing.
Merry Christmas. Early
there is a comma in the price, so this is letting you know how much they're going to ask for this horse. Okay. Azteca Horse, Houston, Texas. I am selling my favorite horse, Palomo, because I don't have time for him. I need someone to take over him. This is a quarter horse with Andalusian. He has gone to horse school almost all his life. He knows how to dance really great. He is 6 years old and a half, and I'm selling it in $9,850. This isn't even what I spent on the horse. This school literally has so much dancing school that he dances by himself in his stable every day. If interested, call, please. Serious buyers only. Buyers only, please. Oh, can I just do that? I'm going to do that again because I don't even know if I've wrapped my brain around what I just read. I am selling my favorite horse, Palomo, because I don't have time for him. I need someone to take him over. This is a quarter horse with Andalusian. He has gone to school almost all his life. He knows how to dance really great. He's 6 years old and a half, and I'm selling him for $9,000. $9,850. This isn't even what I spent on the horse in school. This literally had so much dancing school that he dances by himself in his stable every day if interested, call.
It's better the second time. I didn't know that we were sending horses to Arthur Murray.
I am so confused.
I didn't know we had dance school for horses. That's a new one for me. Is that something they do out there in Houston, in Texas? They have dance school for horses?
It reminds me of the movie where the kid is in the back seat of the car. What's the name of this movie? Where they smoke pot the whole movie. And he's like, I don't know. I just want to dance.
And for $9,800, you can have yourself a dancing Azteca.
Now, what this makes me think of is, you know, it's probably like got some Spanish blood. It's an Andalusian and with some quarter horse in it. And it learned how to do, like, you know, Piaf or whatever. But when he dances by himself, that probably means that he's so stressed out that he just rears in place, you know, outside of his stall and hits the door and just, oh, he just dances by himself all the time. That's because he's a nervous wreck.
Yeah, when I dance by myself, it's for a different reason. Next one is...
Did you have to pee?
Yeah, exactly. It's from our friend Michelle Bergeron down there. She's finally getting in on the act here down there in Louisiana. She sent an ad in. Now, this is for Norman. The title is Norman, $350. Mm-hmm. Norman is part dog, part miniature horse, part human, 10% cow. Healthy, friendly, spoiled. $350 to Good Non-Freezer Home. Can you guess what we're selling, Jamie?
No, I can't.
I couldn't either, actually. They have the cutest picture of little Norman with his little friend who's a miniature white miniature pony, and little Norman is a little cow. But apparently he's not only cow. He's only 10% cow. He's part dog, part miniature horse, and part human. But if you buy little Norman, you're not allowed to freeze him. So,
Is this one of those cute mini cows? I mean, it looks like a baby.
It does look like a baby cow. It was hard to tell what they were even selling. I had to look at it twice to see if they were selling the mini pony or the cow. I wasn't sure.
I didn't know either, but it would probably be insulting to call a miniature horse part cow. So they had to be a cow.
Although we've seen a lot of miniature horses that look like cows. I mean, let's be honest. Yes,
we have. So we got to post that. It's pretty stinking cute.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. Rachel Nope sent us the next one. A pure Hanoverian for sale. And this is in Paso Robles, California for $1,500. Beautiful, sweet, purebred Hanoverian mare for sale over 16 hands, 10 years old. Needs a new home. She cross canters in the back at the canter. And canter is rough, so being sold as a trail horse. Sound healthy, up to date on everything. Just don't have the time to work with her. Mane just need an adjustment, but I have too many already. She hops in and out of her back lead. So she is being sold without papers as a pleasure trail horse. Comes with blankets. If interested, text blah, blah, blah. She is being moved down south in the next couple of weeks. So if you want her, bring your trailer and $1,500 and she's yours.
Okay, there's a lot of things I have to talk about here. Go. Do you have any comments? Because I have a lot of stuff on this one.
You've got a pure Hanoverian mare. And you won't sell her with the papers because she swaps leads behind. She cross canters.
Which you know what that means.
Either she's lame or she's unfit. Those are usually
the
two things.
No, that means that the papers are going to mysteriously end up on a different horse very shortly.
Oh.
That's what that means. Yeah, you got to keep up with it here, Jamie. And then the other thing, two more things about this one. Needs a new home. She cross canters in the back of a canter, and the canter is rough, so being sold as a trail horse. Do people who ride trails never canter?
Good point.
Yeah. And then the other thing is she is being moved down south in the next couple of weeks. Does that mean a slaughterhouse in Mexico? Wondering.
I don't know, because Paso Robles, which is, I'm assuming, was the California, is not in Northern California. You know what I mean?
Yeah, So, a lot of problems with this ad. But somebody please help this Hanoverian mayor, who obviously needs a rider that actually knows how to ride.
Yes, I do think that this horse probably is just lame or unfit, and that's why it canters like that. Bless his little heart. Somebody save it. Don't give me the phone number. I will not call.
The next one is from Diane Brooks. Thank you so much, Diane. It's an Appaloosa gelding. Might trade part or full. 15-year-old Appaloosa gelding. Approximately 15-1 solid built. Good legs and hooves. Needles done May 2011.
What?
Well, let me do that again. Good legs and hooves. Needles done. Needles. N-E-E-D-L-E-S. Done May 2011. Knows the basics only. We used at camp for trail riding. Was told by someone else he was used more for English. I took him in his trade. I have not ridden him. He is up on needles and feet. What the heck is it with? This is the first time we've ever had somebody say needles in an ad.
Oh, so this vaccinations.
Maybe that's what that means. I guess.
He's up to date on his needles and his feet.
He is very sweet. And, you know, we've been doing these ads for a year and a half, and I always think there's nothing that we haven't seen yet, but every week we get surprised. He is very sweet and took in a colt under his wing. What exactly does that mean? So he make a good babysitter, also 800 reduced. Might trade to open to ideas. I was more looking for a Western pleasure movement horse. Well, there you go. Here's a horse that he has ridden, probably hasn't looked at, but we know he's got needles.
He's been needled, and he's looking for a Western pleasure movement horse. I didn't know that that's what they called those, but awesome. I found this one, and I'm so excited. Much like Tonopah, which is usually the place I find the worst really bad ads, coming in a close second would be a town just north of me called Whitman. And I actually went to go look at a couple horses in Whitman last week, and I just didn't feel right about it. I just couldn't get a horse from Whitman. It would be bad. It would probably be entertaining for the show, but I couldn't make it to Whitman. I just couldn't do it. Because they have things like this. 15-year-old big black gelding. I have a 15-year-old big stout black gelding. He stand at 16-1 hand and watts around 1,300 pounds. I got him to learn how to rope off of, but he turned out to be too much for a beginner roper. He is good on cows, and you can throw a rope off him. I was told when I got him 6 months ago that he was used for roping, but honestly ain't seen how well of a team roper he is. He is just a little too strong and gooey for me to feel good on. He does good on trail rides, but when he's around cows, he is too amped up for a beginner roper to learn on and does need an experienced rider due to his large and powerful abilities. I have shot off of him, but he doesn't like it very much. He doesn't buck me off, just runs away. He needs used more than I can.
That hurts accuracy, by the way.
Probably does. I doubt he's running towards the target, okay? It's like he doesn't rope. Well, let's just shoot off of him. Let's just take up a gun and aim it right next to his right ear and pull the trigger and see what happens. We didn't buck. Oh, thank God. It's because he was too busy galloping off. Like, you scared the hell out of him. He needs used more than I can to, if he sits long, he really wants to go. He load in the trailer good, taking a 15-inch barrel saddle for my daughter and some cash. Have a safe ride.
Have a safe ride.
Coming in second behind Tonopah, Arizona for it. Worst, really bad ads. You know what the hell? If you ain't going rope, let's just shoot a gun off him and see what happens.
Terrell sent this one, and also from Arizona, by the way. Flashy black and white Pinto gelding, approximately 13.3 hands, 900 pounds. Let me repeat that sentence. Approximately 13.3 hands, 900 pounds.
That's a
very
fat pony.
Very stocky build. Yeah, no crap. He is built like a gypsy banner. No, he's built like a tank.
No, he's built like a fat pony.
Yeah. Beautiful conformation, except for the belly that drags on the ground. Nice feet, nice head and eyes, long mane and tail. Does all natural horsemanship groundwork. He has been trained to perform basic dressage on the ground, such as turn on the forehead, turn on the haunches, and collected backup. I'm glad he's doing the dressage on the ground, because you know what? When you're doing the dressage in the air, you're pretty much at Grand Prix level, and most riders cannot stay on. Loves to free lunge jump, and has been taught to stand on a tractor tire.
Woo-hoo!
Well, now that's something that you don't see every day. Comes in handy. Damn. I've never owned a horse that stood on a tractor tire. Have you?
You know, I find that tractor tires might not be the safest thing for horses to be around at all. So, keep going, because
right.
I have a comment about
that. Okay, great for farrier, ridden without shoes and bitless bridle only with no spurs ever. Has been ridden in an arena once. Prefer an advanced rider, capital letters, who understands natural horsemanship techniques and methods. He will get along with other geldings. I thought I read this wrong. He will get along with other geldings, and he displays extreme alpha behavior. All of that. I wanted to buy this horse. He stood on a frickin' tire. And then I get to displays extreme alpha behavior.
I love the last line, though. You didn't read the last line.
Oh, must see to appreciate.
I would imagine. Okay, so we've got a horse that turns on the forehead, turns on the haunches, and has a collected backup that jumps, does tricks, but dear God, don't ride him. None of this has been done with any rider on his back at all. And I'm sorry, this is very Arizona. Living here, I can make fun of the people that live here. I swear to God, everybody has one of those long carrot stick things and the big long rope halters, not representing any particular natural horsemanship rider.
No,
they just all – nobody rides their horses here. But they'll spin them around in a circle for 40 minutes while they're getting them tired, and then they're like, oh, I'm not going to ride today. I'm just going to do the spinning in a circle on this short lead rope. And then they wonder, because what happens after that is they're like, oh, we don't shoe our horses. It's not natural. Oh, but he's lame. I wonder why he's lame. He doesn't have his shoes on. You're spinning him in a 5-meter circle for 40 freaking minutes. Put shoes on him. Get on your dang horse and go for a ride. Sorry.
How do you feel, Jamie?
I haven't seen any of this ever. How can you tell? The reason your horse needs an advanced rider is because you never sit on it.
All right, take a deep breath. You have the next one, and you know, just take a deep breath. I'll play some music while you wait.
Oh, God! Are you kidding me? That's a little bit of a rant.
Do the next one or your cap?
No, I got it.
Notice the next one is in all caps with no punctuation.
All capital letters, no punctuation, and it's Buckskin. That's the title.
Is Chad sleeping, by the way?
No, he's gone. He left before I did, so that's why I get to be loud today.
Okay, good, because you were going to wake him up with this one.
I don't know. Can I yell at you? I don't know. I'll back up. Buckskin. 8-year-old gelding Buckskin, 15 hands, 1,200 pounds. Genital for anyone to ride. Daughter has been practicing. Barrels on him not finished. Also have headed on him really quite in the box. Run hard to the hype, but does not have a lot of rate to him. Rides outside really nice. No buck at all. Can leave time in the pen for 30 days and jump rake on him and go for more info. Call me.
I have no idea what you just said. I really don't.
He is so genital.
I think that's the only thing. I stopped at genital. I lost you after that. Let's go on. The runner-up for today, and we're going to send – this is a new submitter too, I think. Sienna Sparks sent this one in, and we're going to send her a Horse Radio Network hat. So, Sienna, drop Jennifer at Horse Radio Network an email with your address, and we'll send you out a hat for being the runner-up. This is
love this one. The next one,
I kind
really
of overruled her, because the next one, the one that won, I haven't laughed like that in an ad we've gotten in a long time. I just laughed out loud this morning. So, all right, I'll do this one. Big Grade Gelding. Big Grade Gelding, been used as a pickup horse until he got hooked by a bull. That doesn't sound good, right? That means that the horn, that's just not good. Thinks he has a split personality. No, he has a split body. Some days he's great. Some days he's a real AWS. No secrets here. You need to trank him to shoe him, or he will try and kick your head off. He has been used for branding, moving cows, ranch roping, etc. And like I said, oh, you know what she forgot? This should say, he has been used for branding, moving cows, ranch roping, and training veterinarians on stitching. And like I said, some days he is great. We have had beginner riders on him, and they have done just fine. I have ridden him in the hills or gathered him, and he was fine. He is not great to catch, although we have turned him out on 140 acres, so he can leave if he wants. But in a smaller pen, he is much better. He just needs someone that isn't going to take his beep. Oh, that's a beep because it was a swear word. He just needs someone that isn't going to take his beep on a regular basis. He needs to be taken and used. If you're looking for a horse that you can ride twice a year, well, this is not the horse for you. But if you use your horse as often as you change your pants, then this will probably be the one that will suit just perfect. We bought him with the intention of selling him because we have more than enough horses. He has gone to the bottom of the priority barrel. He is not a horse for the faint-hearted. If you are handy and need a project, or if you think you are handy and need to try and prove it, I think he's about 11 years old, 13 free hands, and it's just to the name of Dick. Oh, God. Oh, and he doesn't answer. That's what we call him.
My favorite line is, he's not a horse for the faint-hearted. If you're handy and need a project, or if you think you're handy and need to try to prove it, the horse answers to the name of Dick. Okay, he doesn't answer. That's just what we call him. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Okay, so how much would you pay for this charmer of a horse?
Again, it's about as much as I'd pay for that trailer we talked about earlier. Not a dang dime.
Okay, so this horse that's been hooked by a bull probably has a huge scar. We don't know if he's lame after he got the bull horns, you know, shoved through his body. He has a split personality. He's a real AWS. He needs tranquilized or he'll kick your head off. He has been used for many things, but we're not quite sure he's good at any of them. You can't catch him in the field, so you have to keep him in a small, like, 10 by 10 pen the size of your bedroom. All of that for $2,500.
What a steal. Wow. That is a great price. 11 years old, 15 three hands, can't catch him. He's pretty much worthless, gored by a bull. $2,500. That is $2,500 well spent, my friend.
Yes. I wonder if they can't catch him because they haven't turned out with the bulls.
He's running away from them.
Yes, exactly.
All right. The winner of the Illuminated Hoof Picks is Dawn Bailey. Congratulations, Dawn Bailey. And I'm just going to have to read this as is. And if you're offended by swear words, then, well, it's not really that bad. Dawn Bailey, the title is Pain in the Ass Mini Donkey. Really, he'd be like, he is an ass. So, Pain in the Ass Mini Donkey.
That's right. We're okay.
We're okay. Precocious 5-year-old with a penchant for opening gates, army crawling under fences, and waking up the neighbors at ungodly hours. Loves to be groomed by everyone but the one that feeds him. Demands a king's ransom in the finest hay, only to pee all over anything that might hit the ground. Enjoys regular visits from the vet and the farrier, as he routinely causes such a fuss that I need to reschedule. Thoroughly loves, in parentheses, to chase and maim, dogs and other furry critters. Gets along well with pasture mates, in parentheses, that can outmaneuver his back hooves. Trailers well, probably. Gelded, although I would happily do it again.
the best line we've ever had in a really bad ad.
That's really great. Potential homes will be thoroughly screened, and in parentheses, for video cameras, so I can make a clean getaway. Contact with questions. Too good,
this is a mini
donkey
that's causing all this trouble. It's a mini donkey.
The vision of a mini donkey army crawling under the fence.
And being in the neighbor's yard screaming at the top of his lungs at 3 in the morning.
So would happily do it again. And that was not in parentheses. That just was written.
That has to be one of the best lines we've ever had. Gelda, though, would happily do it again. That's
pretty
good.
For the pain in the ass, mini ass.
Well, thank you to everybody.
Yeah, thanks for sending these in. This is definitely one of the most fun part of my week, so I appreciate it. And if you need any of the phone numbers for any of these wonderful animals that are for sale, or you want to just talk to these great people who are selling them, just let us know. We'll go ahead and pass on the information for you. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening and commenting on Facebook and sticking with us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate it. And it's a bowling! Woohoo! And for everybody else, just spay, neuter, and kill.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
It's a boy. It's a boy. It's a boy.